Welcome to the Touring for Purpose podcast. This is Mingo, your host, and I am back in the RV. We've had an incredible week of traveling. We were in San Diego earlier this week, connecting with Terry Wayne Brooks. And yesterday we were up in Malibu. We were at Pepperdine University, and we were actually listening to just a really revealing amount of data that the Barna Group had put out all about the state of the pastor as we know it and the status of the local church. So today, back in sunny Southern California, and we've got the great pleasure of welcoming a guest, Dr. Stephen Cake. What's your last name, Stephen Cake?
Kalaluhi.
Kalaluhi. Come on, dude. Yeah. How come I haven't been calling you Kalaluhi all day? That's like the legit name.
It rolls off the tongue.
Kalaluhi. Stephen is a part of his own personal leadership brand called Stephen K Leadership.
Yes, sir.
But he's also invested as a leader across a few, it sounds like a few different businesses and endeavors, right?
Absolutely.
Connected by way of proxy with a very young, influential leader that we both know well.
An emerging leader,
Nick Moultrie.
Absolutely.
And Stevie Moultrie. So shout out to them. Stephen, you've been super generous. We met for lunch and then boom, you gift me with three books that you've authored. A goal of my own personal like endeavors I want to write one of these days.
Come on.
You are well studied, not just in book and in theory, but in practical experience.
Practical application.
All things leadership.
Yes, sir.
And so you're in the right spot. This is the right conversation to be had, especially with a group of people who are so eager to become the best versions of themselves.
Absolutely.
So tell me, Stephen, your whole world is wrapped around helping people become better leaders.
Yes, it is.
What is, in a nutshell, what is your thing? If people go, okay, Stephen K. Leadership, what's Stephen K. Leadership? Give me the elevator pitch that'll send us down this conversation.
Absolutely. And this is one of those things where we've already talked about it during lunch. Uh-huh. I'm just going to reiterate.
Yeah, bring it.
My personal belief is that anybody can be a great leader, right? Mm. Just like you have athletes that have great potential, you have musicians that have great potential. They will rise to the top much more quickly than somebody who doesn't have that potential. But at the end of the day, anybody can be an athlete, anybody can be a musician, as long as they're willing to put in the effort, the energy, the time, and the resources to become great. I view leadership as a skill set. And as a skill set, that means that you can learn it if you're willing to invest the time to learn it.
That's so good. I'm thinking right now that there are probably several people, your ears and your hearts should be on fire because you have just been given permission.
Absolutely.
To become better.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not the hand that you were dealt, but it's getting through the card game and actually making the best of what you've got.
Without a doubt.
I love that. We are going to recycle a bunch of stuff that we had just met actually during lunch, which is so awesome. I love it. You've got a tenacity. You've got a hustle in you.
Right.
You want to do a 10 UCLA, didn't have the funding.
Yeah, USC.
Oh, USC. I apologize.
Missed
I don't know.
Right. Let's
yeah, go. Bro. Wrong colors, dude. Wrong colors.
Wrong side of the track.
Yeah, but it was determined in you. I love that you had said about yourself that you have this personality that when you look at any particular pathway, you want to know what the ultimate
absolutely
end road is,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely.
And you didn't just lay to the wayside when the
wasn't
presented
there
a challenge.
Right.
Right, you went and hustled your way to figure out how to make it happen.
Right,
and that's a lesson that a lot of us need to know is the ability to fail forward or rise above the circumstance.
Absolutely.
Give us a little bit of background on some of the things that you've helped pioneer. You said you had like started a few different businesses, mm-hmm. and now you're in this stream now.
Right.
You're experiencing some great dividends on the back end of that.
Yes.
What do you want to tell some young leaders as they themselves are probably thinking, you know, I want to get started. I'm afraid of failing.
Sure.
What do I do?
You can't be afraid of failure. First of all, if you're going to do anything great in this world, you're going to do anything great from a business perspective, from an entrepreneurial perspective, from a leadership perspective, you cannot be afraid to fail. Mm. The more you fail, the better you become.
That's
the
good.
The more you fail, the more you learn. The more you fail, the stronger and more resilient you become. It's one of those things where I don't want to talk to you unless you failed in life, because then we can meet on common ground.
We have something in common.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's one of those things where if you don't fail, you really can't experience what true success really is.
Oh, that's good. It's almost like you don't know even what it tastes like unless you've tasted the bitterness of failure.
Exactly.
Which makes success so much more sweeter, right?
Exactly. That mountaintop is much more enjoyable when you've spent a few years in that valley and you've not seen the sun.
Totally. Your feet feel good when you get to the top of whatever it is that you're hiking up, right?
Absolutely.
You instantly create permission to not have it all together and not win every single time you make an effort to do something.
Right.
As somebody who has been in charge of several people through a specific department, you had said at one point at a company you were in charge of like
87 people.
87 people. Right. One, you don't look old enough to be in charge of 87 people, bro. That's that Hawaiian Filipino combo, dude. I'm telling you. It's the blood, dude. What was it like experiencing, because you said you were number 12 of that that company, you were the 12th hire, but then here comes nearly 90 people behind you. How did you manage the tension of the expectation that was above you?
Right.
You know, and because you just so confidently said you can't be afraid to fail, and yet I can't imagine you being in a position where you instantly naturally felt that.
Sure. No, this is the desire to fail. Wasn't something that I don't think it's something that you're innately born with.
Yeah, it's like a fear of falling off a bike.
Exactly. It's not something that you're going to wake up one day and say, I'm going to fail today. It's not something you purposefully look
for. Right, right, right.
It's just how you deal with that.
How you deal, how you process through failure.
Exactly. When you're in an organization where you've got 90 people or so you're responsible for, you really have to look at what's best for everyone. And the challenge with that is in corporate organizations, you always have a structure that you have to butt your head up against in order to break through certain ceilings. You have process that you have to fight through. You have structure that you have to fight through. And there's people that are always going to be saying that's not the way it's supposed to be done. And unfortunately, those are the types of things that great leaders will have to fight against consistently and constantly until the structure and the culture of the organization supports the innovation and the disruptiveness of what needs to happen in today's society.
There's a certain, for lack of better terms, there's a certain sex appeal in being a disruptor.
Yes.
But in an organization, disruptors, they're not the popular people.
No. So disruptors are sexy when the culture supports it.
Yeah.
When the culture supports you getting out there and being innovative and you being disruptive, then those are the rock stars of the organization.
Yeah.
If you come into an organization where everybody is set in stone and it's, you know, this is the way it's always been done, disruptors are the first ones to get let go.
Totally.
They are looked at as the black sheep of the organization.
They
are like put into the corner until it's time to give them their pink slips.
Totally, right. People are identifying the whole millennial generation as a disruptive generation.
Sure.
So as we look at organizational leadership, the unavoidable fact that you're going to have to be bringing in a whole new generation of people to the workforce or ministry, what do we do with the fact that there's almost a natural inclination to want to find the ceiling and break through it and push
through it. Find the ceiling, bust through it, find the walls, bust through those. From a disruptive perspective, again, it's that culture. We're teaching leaders now the power of collaboration and the idea that just because you're the CEO, just because you're the president, doesn't necessarily mean that you're always going to have the best ideas. Leaders recognize that great ideas can come from anyone, anywhere, at any time, whether it's the,
well, just slow down on that one. Say, I want that one to go through again.
Great ideas can come from anyone, anywhere, at any time.
That's
it
great.
Doesn't matter if you're the janitor who's emptying trash cans, if you're the person who's cleaning toilets, or if you are the guy who's been on site for 2 days. Great leaders recognize that great ideas aren't confined to a CEO title
position.
Or a corner office.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's so big. Now, with that context, we have two people that we really are going to have to coach real well, right? This is a generic person. You've got the senior leadership, and you and I during lunch, we were talking about, you know, the three standout generations that are having to wrestle through leadership are the boomers,
right?
Boomers would be articulated at what, like 60-ish and above?
Yes.
Gen Xers begin at the like 50-something range,
right,
and they go down to like roughly their 40s. And then you've got the millennial generation. I'm a part of that millennial cusp. I barely make it. I was born in 82. some literature would say that it began at the 80s.
Right.
And, you know, somehow right now we're experiencing like another variation of it.
Right.
That gives us now the organizational reality. There are three types of leaders generationally that are, one is extremely collaborative, one's extremely skeptical,
right,
and the other one is extremely frustrated.
Yes.
Right? So how in that space do we as players within an organization, how can we create those kind of collaborative environments? If I'm not the top guy, if I'm just a guy right. in the organization, what do I do as a learning leader to create the best possible scenario? If I've got a hunch or if I see my organization slanting a little bit, what do you give me as advice?
I think it's all a matter of identifying the fact that those multiple generations of leaders exist and not shooing away a millennial because they are considered disruptive, not ignoring a baby boomer because their ideas are old and stale. It's coming to the point where everybody is celebrating their differences and building upon those differences from that perspective. Mm. We talked about it earlier, where everybody needs a baby boomer to speak into their lives because they've seen it and they've done it and they lived through certain things.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a millennial to speak into their lives to keep them on point. You talked about the bleeding edge,
yeah,
and the cutting edge,
yeah,
and having that disruptive mindset. We as leaders today can't be stuck in any one way, shape, or form.
Singular framework.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get stuck in a singular framework, and then the only time that framework works is when that particular situation or circumstance comes along.
Yeah, and tell me, when have you ever found yourself as a leader only trying to problem solve within a single paradigm against
exactly.
a single generation?
Exactly. And that's, you know, I don't want to talk about the programs that I bring, but it identifies.
Oh, I like this. Let's go. Let's get in there. So yeah, you're not just like some great observer. You're a certified leadership.
Yes.
You can help organizations navigate the pains
yes.
of becoming better.
And so you talked about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when my team and I come into an organization, we address every leader at every level at every role. And it's because you have the baby boomers, CEO, vice presidents, the one who have built the company
mm-hmm,
up.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mindset that
they labored early.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you have the next gens who are trying to figure things out. They're stuck between the baby boomers and the millennials.
Right,
and you have
right,
the
right.
millennials, like you said, who are frustrated with the lack of action, the mm-hmm. lack of disruption that they're seeing.
Lack of significance also.
Absolutely.
The outworkings of whatever it is they're putting their hands
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the social aspect.
Yeah.
Of it. So when you come in as a coach, you have to look at where they're coming from and help them see from different perspectives, different sets of eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
And that includes everyone, not just the CEOs, not just the middle managers, not just the millennials who are just cutting their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody in between. Everybody has to have the benefit of seeing from everybody else's eyes because there's value in that. But if you are ignoring the value that they bring,
yeah.
then you're missing out on things.
Yeah.
And in order for organizations to flourish and succeed today, they have to be willing to open up their eyes to other perspectives.
That's really good. Now, I can't help but imagine, I have my hands in several different companies.
Sure.
Some that I've started, right? Mm-hmm. Some that I've been welcome to be a part of. We call it a leadership gap in the conversation.
Yes.
The people that I play you know, these roles with, where there's a collective opinion somewhere down the ranks of the organization. There's a big hallway, an executive office door, and then
right.
there's like the executive team that lives in almost like a siloed ecosystem.
Right.
And there's never an opportunity to be the bridge between those. If we want to make a difference and unify those spaces, does it require a martyr to go and like die on behalf of all the people that will eventually have
right.
voice behind you?
Right.
I mean, how do you close that gap?
You have to challenge leaders to be courageous.
Mm.
It all comes down to being a courageous leader because like you said, if you're not doing it properly, you will end up being a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
You will get slaughtered in that hallway trying to bridge that gap.
It's the bleeding edge.
It is.
Because you bleed out
you
when
will.
You get brave.
But the idea is for you to bleed out for a purpose.
That's good.
Right?
Come
and
on.
The purpose,
in the purpose-driven
bus.
Like
how I dropped that? You like how I dropped that?
In the purpose-driven bus, he says, we bleed out for a
purpose.
I love that.
So the purpose has to be growth.
Good.
You walk into any organization, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, no matter what ministry you're in, the purpose of that business and purpose of that ministry is growth.
Good.
Growing the person individually, growing the organization as a whole. In order to achieve that growth, you have to bridge that gap.
Good.
And when you have a singular purpose, when everyone is marching to the same beat, everyone hears the same tune, mm-hmm. everyone has the same vision, you're able to get to that bleeding edge, get to the point where you're making it safely to the other side, and then you are mending the hurts that prevent you from seeing from other people's perspectives. Mm. Because I guarantee you, the large majority of baby boomers look at millennials in such a way because of the disruptiveness that they bring to the industry, and they've experienced hurts because of that.
Therefore, they have a lack of trust.
They have a lack of trust, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And it goes for all the different generations as well. Their hurt is because they've experienced something that
personally.
They didn't expect to yeah. experience, and it causes them to generalize that hurt to everybody else from outside of their perspective. But when you have a singular purpose, the millennial, the baby boomers, the next gens, when they all have the same purpose, they can bridge that gap and say, in order for us to grow, I can bring this perspective. Well, in order for us to grow, I'm going to bring this perspective.
Super good.
And that is when you can collaborate in a way that most organizations will never experience.
What do you do with failure as the manager? So I've had the luxury of employing a few guys mm-hmm. in my time as an entrepreneur myself, and there's a very tight wound tension that we have a product that needs to be presented with professionalism,
sure.
right? And so as much as I want to give the guys room to fail, I can't compromise our product. As a manager, how do we create safe places for failure?
Yeah, it's one of the toughest things you will ever face as a leader is making the space for your people to fail, making the space for yourself to fail. There are going to be initiatives that you roll out, products that you roll out that have to be done a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily it means it has to be done the way you want it. The final product has to be how you want it. You have to create baby steps almost, where you can give a smaller project to a team, let them take it, let them interpret what it's supposed to look like, let them fail along the way, but give yourself enough time to come in and tweak it if it needs to be tweaked.
So you have to do the due diligence of creating that kind
that
of
space.
Margin.
Yes, oh, yeah. Without a doubt. You have to view failure as an opportunity for your team to grow.
It's a tool.
It is. It's a teaching moment, right? So you have kids. As we're raising your kids, you're always looking at their mistakes and their failures and their bumps and their bruises as teachable moments.
Mm.
And it's the same exact thing for your team.
Yeah.
If you don't build that time in, they will never be able to grow. If you don't have time built in, what ends up happening is you take it from them, you fix it the way you want it to be fixed, and then
they
you send
never
out
grow.
That product, and they never have the benefit of learning what's going on inside your head.
That's
the
good.
The process that you follow, the process that you saw, they need that time. So as a leader, you build that in.
That's good. I'm thinking organizationally, that means if you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to this conversation, you can't only have the reprimand moment.
Right.
You have to cultivate a moment where there's reflection.
Oh, I love it.
Where there's awareness, right? Where there was the perceived,
yes.
I gave you this so that we could XYZ.
Absolutely.
Unpack that.
So I was in the military from 1993 to 1999.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you
for that.
One of the best things that the Army ever did or has ever done is have after-action reviews.
After
every
action
exercise.
Reviews.
It was a moment in time where all of the leaders got together and they reflected on the exercise. What did they do well? What could they have done better?
Mm.
So that every single exercise you go through, whether it's training, whether it's whether it is preparing,
mm-hmm.
you're always asking the question, what did we do well? What could we have done better?
Yeah, that's
so
good.
That you're always getting better. Every single training exercise,
every action mission,
you're getting better. That's how leaders have to come to situations like that, is bring their team to the side. We just finished this huge project. What did we do well? Get that feedback. What could we have done better? Get their feedback again, because it's their growth that's going to be most important to them. You can tell them all day long, you should have done this, you should have done mm-hmm. that, in one ear out the other. But give them an opportunity to say, oh, we probably could have tweaked this, or if we had spent more time planning, we could have saved time here.
Mm.
You let them come up with that action plan, because when they own it, it becomes a part of who they are.
Come on.
As opposed to you just shoving it down the
shoving
throats.
Down. Yeah. What I'm hearing out of you is that as a collective of both players and leaders,
yes.
we have to get real comfortable with the concept of review.
Yes.
Oh. And that's a fear. That's a fearful place to be. I hate, like, you think of like, oh man, my mid-year review's coming up, or like my end of project, we're going to review this thing.
Right.
Instantly that creates like this, like, squirt, I'm going to yak, I'm going to throw up because I'm so nervous about reviewing my progress or my what I've put into this project.
Sure.
But we need to eliminate that schism. We need to eliminate that fear.
Well, the negative connotations associated with reviews, it's very damning to organizations and the leaders. And again, it all comes back to growth, right? We're going to have this action after action review so that we can grow.
That's good.
We're going to reflect on what we just did so that we can grow. Everything comes back to growth, right? I'm going to pull you aside to coach you so that you can grow. I'm going to reprimand you on your behavior so that you can grow. I'm going to give you this book to read so that you can grow.
Yeah.
We're going to take time to reflect so that
you can grow. Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about growth.
I would feel way better knowing no matter what the action was, that the outcome by way of my leader was always intended to be growth.
Yes. Now, think about the impact that a leader could have on a team of individuals if that leader was always coming at everything they were doing with the mindset of, how do I help my team grow? How do I help this person on my team grow?
Yeah.
That's where leaders get into trouble nowadays, is they have this blanket leadership statement over their entire team where they're trying to lead every single person on their team in one way. The reason that doesn't work is for the same reason that I can't father my two boys
in the exact same way.
My 15-year-old couldn't be more different than my 10-year-old. My 10-year-old couldn't be more different than my 15-year-old. I have to father them very differently in order to achieve the results that I want for their lives. It's the same thing with my teams. I have to lead them individually. I have to grow them individually. I can't have this blanket statement
approach.
Yeah, I can't lead you blanket style in hopes that everyone is going to grow at the same time.
Yeah, that's good. You know what I keep thinking of is, you know, in so many cases where I think teams are operating, they make the thing results, not growth.
Oh, yeah.
And so if the result was growth, then that would be a different, I would play under a different pretense on that team.
Right.
But when it's just gaining results for the sake of results, the scoreboard, instantly I have a competitive fear against the guy that I'm working alongside of, because all of a sudden it's like, are my results better than your results? But if collectively it was about mutual growth, if I only scored 5 points and you scored 8 points, I know we're both going to grow out of the scenario.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So leaders need to focus on that growth language.
Yes.
Becoming better language.
It's a growth mindset as well, right? Because
so good.
When you focus on that, every meeting that you have isn't, the uncomfortable conversations become more comfortable when you focus on growth. Because if I have to sit you down to talk about a behavior that I disagree with, it's not me personally attacking you. It's not me disagreeing with your behavior. It's about me allowing you to grow by bringing that behavior to light.
Yeah.
So this behavior is preventing your growth. I don't care about what you think about me. All I'm focused on is helping you become the leader that you need to become.
We've talked on the level of leader. Let's talk on the level of the pioneer.
Absolutely.
Let's get into that pioneer conversation.
Sure.
You had mentioned during lunch that you had started several efforts for businesses. And you said three
failed.
Went to the grave
miserably
before you really saw your fourth one run.
Yes.
And even before running your own businesses, you were a part of several businesses.
Right.
We're in a culture where we're capable of creating now more than ever, right? Anybody can become or at least try to start something.
Yes.
And we have all the tools right at our fingertips to be able to do that. What do you tell somebody who's experienced a recent failure? I know you can't be afraid of failure, but falling forward and really having that determination bone in you, you're experiencing the fruits of now your fourth effort.
Right.
You're not, though, exclusively running this ministry or this business without the skills that you learned from the previous three.
Oh, absolutely. Your why has to be bigger than everything else that's going on around you. Your why, your purpose has to be bigger than the failure that you're experiencing. When your purpose and your why is bigger than everything else around you, it all becomes about growth, right? I didn't fail three times. I learned how not to do something three times. That whole Thomas Edison thing, right? He didn't fail 10,000 times. He learned how not to make a light bulb 10,000 different ways. That's how failing is. It should be considered a rite of passage. I need to fail in order to become stronger. Mm. I need to fail in order to become more resilient. I need to fail in order to learn how not to do this so that when it rears its ugly head again, I can identify it. I can recognize it.
Identify it early, course correct.
Absolutely.
That's super good. You gave me three epic books, The Crux of Leadership, The Secret to Building High-Performance Teams, and Ceilingless. You authored all three of these books.
Yes, sir.
Which one do you love the most?
Ceilingless.
Ceilingless. Okay, tell me why.
Ceilingless is a labor of love that I had on a thumb drive for about 2 years before I did anything with it. It was one of those books that I wrote for myself as I was failing, as I was learning how to fail.
Yes.
And it was just one of those things where God laid on my heart this desire to do something great. Like I mentioned at lunch, I knew I was created for greatness. I wasn't going to settle for less than that best. And Ceilingless came more out of a journaling exercise than anything, identifying that dream that God placed on my heart, identifying that purpose that God placed on my heart, and then following hard after that and not letting anything get in the way. That's what Ceilingless is really all about. It's identifying that goal and then taking that first step and then taking that second step and then taking that 300th step and then knowing that as long as you are following hard after that dream, nothing will stop you.
You have recently started to build your team under Stephen Kay leadership, Nick being one of those guys.
Yeah, come on.
Dude, even though I got Thai food all over him at lunch.
That's how good it was.
Calling out my boys. My question is for other young guys looking to learn well, study appropriately. What are you looking for in a teammate as you are now becoming the head of the org? You're putting your chips on the table, so you're risking big in a certain sense where you're bringing on an employee. That's certainly a threshold that you've broken through.
For sure.
What were you looking for, and what should other entrepreneurs be looking for as they build into their own brand or their own ministries?
Sure.
They make a collective team.
I am at the cusp of that next-gen baby boomer generation.
Mm-hmm.
I know how Facebook Live works, but I don't know how to do all the sharing and all the other good stuff. I recognize where my weaknesses are, and when you start to build out a team, you got to identify what those weaknesses are so that you can fill those gaps. We talked about the gaps in leadership. It's because people aren't willing to say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get here. I don't know how to say this. When bringing Nick on, I know it was very God-driven having Nick come on. And the fact that his strengths shore up my weaknesses just made us a perfect match. His tech savviness and building out my Instagram page and doing everything on Facebook has elevated the visibility of Stephen Kay Leadership as a brand to levels that I would have never have experienced on my own. But I would have never gotten to that point if I came into this saying, I know everything I need to know. Mm. So when you start to build out your team, start to identify those things that you don't do well. And then as you interview, find people who can shore those up.
That should be an easy exercise to...
You would think.
...to operate.
You would
But it's
think.
Not, you
it
know?
It is a challenge, especially for the next geners and the baby boomers especially. Admitting that you don't know something is very challenging.
How did you become self-aware in that sense? Did you write down, Stephen Kay, these are the things I'm good at. These are the things I suck at. I need to find this person.
Reflection was a huge part.
Okay.
Right? Reflection was just huge. I knew the value of social media. I knew the value of videos. I knew the value of having that presence. I didn't know how to get there. So I recognized the importance of having those things in place. The next thing was to find somebody who could bring that value to the organization. Nick just fell in my lap. And you know, through different relationships and all that good stuff, God has really allowed Nick to flourish in this part of the organization to the point where we're talking this morning about bringing him on into some of the different videos that we do to speak to that millennial age leader, that emerging leader.
That's great. Not unless I take the job first, bro. Stephen, as we wrap up this conversation, I can only imagine people wanting to hear more from your unique perspective. I love it. You've got a young mindset. You said you're 42.
42.
Right? So all of the people that are naysaying, they're like, this guy's got all this stuff to say. Where's his like track record?
Right.
You've got several decades in the workforce and now as a skilled and observant leader, able to help other organizations navigate those potential pitfalls and hurdles that were keeping them from becoming the best version I think that they imagined themselves to be. When this podcast is over, I'm going to have you assess me as a as an independent leader. How do people follow up with you? Where can I get your stuff?
All three books. Actually, all the books that I've written. So these are the three that I'm most proud of and that I bring with me when we go to speaking engagements. But all the books can be found on Amazon. You can just Google my name and six or seven different titles will show up.
Cool.
But all of them are available on Amazon.
Your favorite is Ceiling List.
My favorite is absolutely Ceiling List.
Okay,
if
great.
If that was the only book that I could ever push moving forward, it would be that one.
That's
the
great.
Other two are great from an organizational standpoint, but this is, it speaks to the heart of who you are as a leader. You're the heart of who you are as an individual. And it just, it allows you to feel like Rocky when you get to the top of those steps in Philadelphia.
That's awesome.
And the Eye of the Tiger is playing. That's what this book allows you to feel like.
Yeah, give me your social handles. So if people want to start following you now,
oh my gosh,
how do they do that? Or maybe we tee up the young man to our right. What are the social media
social
channels?
Handles? Please, please.
Yeah, welcome everybody, Nick Moultrie, back to the.
Yo, come on. All right, I'm just trying to clean off all the tattoos that spills all over me earlier.
Saving it for later.
I'm saving some for later.
I love it, Nick. Where can we find Stephen K's material online?
Yeah, well, I'm excited because just recently on Instagram, we started doing a lot more videos. So 60 seconds with Stephen K leadership is we're gonna be throwing out videos every single day. So. Just go to Instagram and follow Stephen K. Leadership.
Okay.
And then Facebook. Those two right now are what we're really pioneering and charging.
All right. I'm assuming that there's probably going to be a bunch of conversation that's going to bounce because of this. A lot of people probably thinking to themselves, man, I gotta get better at this. Or, man, I need to like really soak this in. Or, man, I wish my boss heard this. I want you to be brave enough. Remember, Steve was talking about leadership. Leaders have to be courageous. I want you to be courageous. I want you to tag some people in this, and I want you to start a conversation amongst the people that you're doing life with, that you're leading with, because you won't get better if you're learning in an isolated environment.
Without a doubt.
It actually becomes poisonous when you start to hear something and then the people you expect to be reacting because of what you heard aren't making moves because they haven't heard it yet. So don't be dumb. Don't be a dumb leader. Share this so that people can start and engage with the conversation that we've had. Stephen, I really appreciate your insights. I'm hoping that this won't be the only time we get to see each other in the bus. It would be awesome to bring a bunch of people together and have a forum
on
leadership. I think that we're missing that. If you want to, again, share or subscribe or comment to our podcast, it's Touring for Purpose. You can find it on iTunes and then again through social media. We're hashtag Touring for Purpose. I'm at Mingo2 on Instagram. You can follow along with our exploits with the bus. You can follow hashtag PDC Tour or PD Church and you'll see all of our travels there. I'm glad you guys joined us for our Facebook Live community. Thanks for being a part of this conversation. We will talk to you guys soon.